It is my great pleasure to introduce to you Artis Bazin. Artis has a long history with ACB. She has served on the ACB board. She served as ACB's treasurer. She is a wonderful chair of the ACB membership committee. And she has written several publications to help ACB members do their jobs better. And among the wonderful books and things that she has written for Bazin Communications, her company, are manuals to assist presidents and vice presidents and secretaries and treasurers. And when it was said by some of our presidents that we felt we needed some training in our job responsibilities, the first person that came into my mind was Artis to come to us. I think you'll find her kind and compassionate and sweet and yet very professional and very knowledgeable. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn the entire evening over to Artis. Artis?
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me all okay?
Yes.
Okay, good, because I'm using one of those headsets, so I just want to make sure it was coming clear. Well, one of the things I always like to tell people first when I talk about the role of president in an organization is the fact that, first of all, the president is the leader. And as such, they have to act professional at all times. The president has to be a role model to your chapter or group, because if the president loses it, then the meeting is going to be chaos. And that's whether you're having a chapter meeting, whether you're having a board meeting, whether you're having an event or whatever. The president is the one that should be there to keep everybody on an even keel. Another thing a president also needs to be is they have to understand the roles of all the other officers and board members. Because if one of them isn't doing their job, it's the president who needs to make sure that they're back on track. That's why often whenever I talk about president's duties, I bring a lot of other duties into mind, not because they have to on a day-to-day basis do those jobs, but they have to know exactly what needs to be done by those other people so that it happens all the time. And so if you wonder why I'm talking about some of the things I talk about, because, well, hey, that should be so-and-so's job, that's why it is, because the president is the lead in everything. What would you say is the most important thing that the president needs to know how to do?
Lead. Delegate.
Conduct a meeting.
Conduct a meeting, that's right. So probably the first and most important thing is to talk about procedures during meetings. And there's a difference between just having a prescribed meeting and having a successful meeting. Generally, most meetings start with a call to order by the president. Most meetings have an introduction, and some people, when they have, especially local chapter meetings, they might have a birthday roundup where you find out whose birthday it is that month. And you definitely generally have a welcome to newcomers. And by having a welcome to newcomers, you're showing that you're really open and you really want to have other people there. There are several things that are required at most meetings. And they are such things as having your secretary's minutes, your treasurer's reports, your committee reports, old business, and new business. And those are all things that are, as a matter of course, in most meetings. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't think about sometimes is they think, well, hey, every secretary knows how to take minutes. And every treasurer knows how to do a treasurer's report. Well, it's actually important whenever you get new officers that the president makes sure that those people actually do know what their responsibility is. And if they've never taken notes before, perhaps you need to give them a little encouragement and tell them exactly what needs to be in the minutes. For example, all motions need to be put into the minutes. And a president can help a secretary by making sure that the secretary knows what the motion is on the floor. And if at all possible, it's important for the president to restate the motion to make sure that all the people understand the motion before they vote on something, as well as making sure that the secretary gets the motion down correctly in her minutes. When a motion is made, it needs to be seconded, and then the president needs to allow time for discussion to take place before asking for a yes vote or a no vote and abstention. And it's very important to allow people to have time to discuss motions rather than just pushing them through. The other thing to remember that when you take motions, and it sounds like it's equal amount of people voting yes or no, is to make sure that you allow an opportunity to have a roll call vote if it's too close to call. And it's very important for a president to remain neutral and not be pushing his or her agenda to the group. It's okay for a president to say their thoughts on something and give a chance for the vice president to hold the floor if they want to say their views on a topic. There's nothing wrong with that. But you shouldn't try to ram something through just because it's something you want to have. And if you try to do everything on an even keel and make sure you give everybody time to discuss, then you won't have a problem in that area. Besides the motions, the secretary also needs to make sure anything that you decide at a meeting by consensus is also put in the minutes. So if the U.S. president bring up an idea and you say, well, do you all agree with doing such and so, then your secretary needs to know that that needs to be put in the minutes as well. And then you can decide what other things you like to see in your minutes. Some people in their meetings like to see the names of guests put in the minutes. Some like to see the committee reports put in the minutes. And so that's kind of up to you to kind of let your secretary know what kind of things you'd like to see in your minutes. The next thing I'm going to move on to is like your treasurer's report. You need to make sure that your treasurer knows exactly what you expect in a treasurer's report. And that is up to you as president to set the mark. You might want to tell them to just give the basic essentials, like the how much you've taken in, how much you've spent, and the balances before and afterwards. Or your chapter might like to hear every little thing you spend. That's kind of up to each chapter. And the president can help the treasurer know what should be important for your chapter, and you can work on that together. Another thing the president is generally responsible for is getting the venue set up for the meeting. Now, sometimes you can give that job duty to a vice president or a board member to take care of if it's something that you choose not to do. U.S. president delegates jobs to other people. So if you don't have the time to do it satisfactorily, it's important for you to delegate that responsibility to someone you know will take care of it. But overall, the president is the one that's going to be blamed if it doesn't get done. So that's one thing to remember. Even though you delegate responsibilities, whether it be for getting a venue, for committee responsibilities, whatever you give to other people to do, ultimately you're held responsible for making sure that those things are done. Another thing that's real important about when you're doing meetings is to make sure that you have the meetings run smoothly and move along. Don't, if somebody says, well, hey, I need to bring up such and such, don't allow people just to interrupt you at a given point and give their thoughts on a totally different topic. Make sure you keep things to a topic and just ask them to wait until later on in the program. Or if they want to make an announcement at a bad time, just say, hey, we can give announcements at the end of the meeting, et cetera. It's real important for you to keep the meeting on track. Other things to consider about meetings are when your meetings are, and that's something you need to talk about. That's your chapter, get a consensus. Where you hold your meetings, all of those are important things to consider. How do you invite people to your meetings? Your publicity. It's real important to have a publicity committee or a PR committee. And you as president generally appoint committee. And by having a PR committee, a membership committee, a bylaws committee, various committees, you get a lot of the work accomplished for your organization. Now, some people say, well, how do I know what kind of committees we need to have in our group? Some of those are probably listed in your constitution and bylaws. Some people put membership, PR committee. They might have a fundraising committee. They might have a program committee. They might have a constitution and bylaws committee, et cetera. And most of those are called standing committees if you constantly have them. But you can also have ad hoc committees that you appoint temporarily for different projects. For example, if you're going to hold a special fundraiser, you might want a special ad hoc committee for that particular fundraiser, unless you don't hold very many and you just leave it up to the fundraising committee. That's up to you as president to decide if you think that's necessary to have a separate committee. Ad hoc committees are generally just for a given purpose and can be as short as just for a couple months if it's something you want to work on like a Christmas party, or it might be something that lasts for a couple of years if it's something more like planning your future or something like that. So you have to decide what kind of committees you think are necessary in your chapter. And a lot of that depends on how large your chapters are. If you have a really large chapter, you're probably going to need more committees to get things done, rather than if you're just a small committee, a small chapter, and you just have a few members, you might not need as many committees in your chapter. Another thing to remember for meetings is sometimes it's important to have speakers, if not every month, at least occasionally, to keep your meetings interesting to people that come to your meeting. Sometimes people get tired of just listening to the reports and new business. They want to hear new concepts and hear about blindness-related products or hear about a new blindness-related radio station or all kinds of things. And a good way to find out if speakers would be interesting to your members is to ask them to come up to you and tell you about your speakers that they think would be great. Because you as president don't know everything. And I know I as a chapter president don't know everything. So I like to ask my chapter members for things that they'd like to see at our regular meetings. Okay. Most chapters have a way they keep in contact with their members. Do most of you have phone trees or an email list?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
We have a list of members.
You need to keep a membership list, of course, so you can send in your dues to your state affiliate, which also goes to the national. And that's very important. And it's, of course, important to get the contact information for people. You have to get their address, their phone number, their email address, and the format of choice for anything that they receive. So that way you can make sure they get their newsletters in the particular format that they like. But another reason you need to have phone numbers and email addresses is to keep in contact with them on a more regular basis. It's important for you to either have a phone tree or an email list or both, because there's always going to be some people that don't have email, and that way you can make them aware of your monthly meeting. You can let them know about special legislative stuff that's coming up that people need to get in touch with their legislators about, as well as just passing on information that might be of interest in the blindness community.
Could I ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Is that part of your Sunshine Committee, you think, like that?
That would probably depend on your chapter. I know my chapter calls the Sunshine Committee. That's the one who lets tells whose birthdays are whenever.
Yeah, birthdays.
Right. But some chapters have a phone committee that they actually have, keep in touch with people, and that committee might either phone or email. So that's kind of up to your chapter as to what committee does that responsibility.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's fine. That's a good question. But it's something to keep in mind, because I think sometimes we lose members when we don't keep in touch with them. You know, they might join, they might come to a couple meetings. Well, they never hear from anybody in between, and say, oh, nobody's going to miss me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's real important to phone people.
Okay.
I have an email list that I send out notices to people about if there's new technologies. I forward that on to my chapter members. If there's legislative announcements, I forward that on to my chapter members. If there's things going on in the community, even if they're not specifically related to the American Council of the Blind,
right.
I still send them out if they're blindness related, because I know that not everybody is on the email list that provide a lot of information, and it's important to let other people know what's happening. And your chapter will let you know if they think you're sending out too many. So, one thing a president will find out real quickly is that the president is the one that hears about all the complaints about what's going on. And that's not just about what you may have said or done. You'll hear complaints about people not thinking that the secretary is doing their job, or the treasurer is not doing their job, or committee is not doing their job. Or you might just hear complaints about people in the chapter, that that person is being nasty to other people or whatever. And it's real important for you as president to listen to everyone's complaints. But that doesn't mean you have to react to everyone's complaints. Sometimes all they want is a listening ear. And that you're listening to them is all that they wanted. And you don't have to worry about it. Now, there will sometimes be difficult people that you have to deal with, and you might have to be blunt with an individual and say, hey, you need to be more courteous during a meeting, or you might have to just address a different situation. You might get somebody that constantly wants to talk all the time, and you might want to take them aside after the meeting and say, hey, you know, I really like feedback from you, but we need to get more accomplished, so could you please limit your comments to what's really necessary? And you might have to do that on occasion, someone aside. But never berate somebody in front of the whole group. Even if they're being totally inappropriate, you need to be tactful while you're the leader and say, hey, Alan, can you be quiet right now? We can talk about that at the end of the meeting. Or, you know, just be pleasant to everyone. Treat everyone the same. There's always going to be somebody that might do something inappropriate, but you as the leader have to focus on being positive to everyone. Okay. There is while you're working with committees, a lot of times the president is the one who's the chair for committees and oftentimes will recommend people to be on the committees. But you can also ask the chair to help you find the right people to be on those committees, because sometimes they may know somebody that they can work with real easily, and it's good for them to come up with some of the names as well as the president just arbitrarily putting everyone on the committee. Because perhaps you don't know that Betty and Sue don't get along at all. Well, if you put them on the same committee, it may not work at all. So before you say, hey, so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so are going to be on this committee, sometimes it's good to ask for volunteers or just talk to the chair before you put people on a committee. It's also important to try to find people who have the right type of background to be on committees. If you know that someone has had a lot of experience in public relations or has a job where they do a lot of that, that might be a good person to put on the public relations committee. If you know a person that is really good at inviting people to come to meetings or has a lot of relationships with other groups, that might be a person to chair your membership committee. So really think about when you appoint people, don't just think about, okay, well, they're my friends, so I'm going to appoint them to be on the committee, the chairs of committees. You really need to think about who will serve your chapter in the best possible way.
Artist, can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
It's Sheila from Orlando.
Sure.
My curiosity and my question is, if you have a committee and the president wants to be a member of that committee, is it not? She is ex officio, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. She doesn't have to
chair,
be ex officio of every meeting.
And she cannot chair a committee, but she can be on any committee she chooses.
Well, actually, a president can be chair if it's appropriate, but most presidents choose not to chair committees because it's good for them to be in tune with all the committees. But if you find no one wants to be chair of a committee and the president feels that she can handle it, that's fine. But generally, it's better if you can get members to be chairs because it's kind of good to share the wealth. The more people you get involved in your chapter into a committee, the more likely they are to stay as part of your group. A lot of times why people drop out is they feel they're not wanted or needed or just don't, you know, feel that there's any reason for them to be there. And it's important to involve as many people as possible in the committee. Obviously, there's an occasionally going to be someone that wouldn't be appropriate on a committee, and you just have to know when that is. But the president can be a committee, you know, chair, but I wouldn't recommend it just because it's important to get more involvement.
Thank you.
When you appoint a committee chair, it's important to talk to that chair about how to be a good chair. For example, you might want to tell the chair that you want the committee members to each have a task, and you want them each to come up with ideas for the committee, and that the chair shouldn't be expected to come up with all the ideas and do most of the work. It's a shared responsibility. And you might want to ask each committee to have some goals for the year and figure out how they want to get those goals accomplished throughout the year. The president needs to check with each committee chair on an ongoing basis to make sure the work of the committee is being done. You probably don't want to wait till your next meeting and then say, okay, I want a report from that committee, because then they might not have done anything during the whole month. Oh, was I supposed to do something? So you probably should check with the committee members before your next meeting to say, do you have anything to report at this month's meeting? Because then that chair won't feel quite as frustrated if you want them to give a report and they weren't aware that you wanted to report at that particular meeting.
And that helps us with your agenda. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it helps the agenda move along if they know in advance that you're going to ask for a report from them. It's also a good thing for a person to have an agenda at a meeting, too, because then that way she doesn't forget anything or he doesn't forget anything when they have discussion during the meeting. When you talk to each chairperson and ask them for what they're doing, sometimes it's helpful if the president can kind of give them an idea of what is expected of that committee when she appoints them as chair or he appoints them as chair. Some people might not have a clue what a membership committee might have to do. So you might want to explain that a membership committee is the one that is trying to find new members for our chapter. And you might try to give them some advice on how they can look for new members and give them some ideas on different organizations they can contact or different ways that they can reach out in the community, senior centers, colleges, et cetera. And there always are lots of articles in the Braille Forum or on the ACB website where you can find information on how to build membership for your membership committee. And same thing with PR, public relations. There's lots of good information about how to do PR for your chapter. And if you as president aren't sure on how to find this information, talk to your state president, and I'm sure she can help you out. Because let's face it, sometimes you get committee people and officers who have never done their job before. And it never hurts to ask questions. And I'm sure Debbie would welcome any people that have questions about committee responsibility. Right, Debbie?
Absolutely.
Another committee that you'll have in your chapter is the nominating committee. And this committee is only put together before elections. Most nominating committees are put together 2 months before your elections. And then the month before your elections, generally the nominating committee will put forward the names of the people that they recommend for election. And a nominating committee is very important because they're the ones that have to think about who would be a good officer in your chapter, who would be good leaders. And it's very important to bring them forward. And a nominating committee would bring that report in, and then the chapter could still always nominate from the floor. But the nominating committee, by having a nominating committee, it helps make the process a little easier. I know some chapters don't bother with the nominating committee. They just let people nominate from the floor. But sometimes that can be total chaos because you don't have an idea ahead of time who's interested, who's not interested, or doesn't give you time to figure out even who might be good at a particular job.
Isn't that the one committee that the president is not supposed to be on or be a part of?
Generally, the president often nominates or gives the name of a chairperson, and a lot of times the chapter will nominate the members of the nominating committee. But generally, no, the president is generally not on the nominating committee. Unless you have a chapter where just no one wants to do it, you know, then you might have to be. But generally, the president isn't. You also generally try to get people who don't want to run for positions to be on that committee. Mm-hmm. But in some chapters, that's not possible because you might not have people that are willing to serve on it except for people that are willing to run for office. But
then you might have others where everybody wants to be on it because nobody
that's
wants
right.
to run.
So you kind of know your chapter best, so it's, you know, you have to use your best judgment. Correspondence is another thing that sometimes can be an issue. Who should do the correspondence? Well, I always say it's best left to the people who do the best job at correspondence. If you at President like to do your own correspondence for the chapter, go ahead and do it. If your secretary is great at writing and can handle the correspondence best, let her do it. Or if you have a corresponding secretary, let them do the job. And the same with the committee chairs. Some committee chairs like to handle their own correspondence. Some committee chairs would prefer to have the secretary do their correspondence. And this is something that's a trial and error thing. You have to determine at a chapter who is the best person for writing your letters, if you want to write fundraising letters. Who is the best person for writing a press release, for doing those kind of jobs? And so correspondence is something that you really want to make sure it's somebody that knows how to write. So you might want to just ask people who likes to write and then have them write something and check it out and see if they're doing a good job. Because obviously you don't want something out in the public that's not going to look the best as it can look for your chapter. You should use letterhead stationery, especially if you're doing fundraising letters. And you can make your own letterhead stationery. You don't have to buy letterhead stationery. You can do your own just by using block text and centering it in the top, you know, with your chapter name and address, etc. It doesn't have to be fancy, but it just makes your letters look more professional. You can also get a signature disc if you want to have the president go to a Costco or one of the print shops and put a signature on a diskette so that your secretary can sign the letters with a signature. That's great. But, of course, if you do that, just make sure you ask the president if it's okay each time you write a letter. You don't want to put their name on something that they haven't okayed. The next thing I want to cover is bonding. Most times the treasurer and the president are bonded in chapters to make sure that if something happens to the treasury that it's insured. And that's up to you as a chapter to decide if you want to do the bonding. The cost depends on how many assets you have. And it also depends on whether or not you're willing to prosecute a person if they do take your funds. If you're not willing to prosecute someone, then there's no point in being bonded because a bonding company will want you to pursue it through the police, et cetera, before they'll even pay you off. So that's something to keep in mind. When you open a checking account, or if you have checking accounts, each time a new president and treasurer come into it, you have to go and sign a new card. And whenever you open an account, I'm not sure if all of you are aware of the fact that you have to have a federal ID number to open an account for your chapter. If you don't, they'll use the Social Security number of whoever opens the account, whether it's the president or the treasurer. And you really don't want that under their Social Security number, because if you earn any interest, it would automatically go to their Social Security number, and they'd be responsible for paying taxes on any interest. So it's very important to open accounts with a federal ID number. And it's very simple. You just need to get an application from the IRS, and it just needs to have your names of all your officers and their signatures in order to get a federal ID number.
Once you get a federal ID number, that stays constant, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's for everything. As long as your chapter is there, that would be your ID number. And it would transfer each time you got a new treasurer, president. The federal ID number would stay the same because it's linked to your chapter name, not to
an individual.
And
how difficult is it from one officer to another?
It depends on your bank. Some banks Each time you change officers, you have to fill in this form and you have to have a copy of your minutes of the meeting saying that the changeover was made, and you have to have this form filled out where you have the president, vice president, secretary, treasurer sign the form, and they have to have other an ID form, et cetera, at some banks. In some banks, it's real simple. You just go in, you find a new signature card, and then they throw away the old one. So it's very up to each bank. The smaller the bank, the less formal they are about the process. B of A is a real pain. We use them quite a bit.
Yeah, we're finding that out.
And, yeah, they're very, very picky. A lot of times they want you to go in person, and they want the minutes, and they want to have this form signed. They're a lot worse than a lot of them are. So.
And what minutes do they want? I mean, do
they want the minutes of the meeting where you were elected?
Oh, okay.
They want to show that you were actually elected to those positions, that you just didn't arbitrarily decide that you were going to do it. Oh, one note here, too. The president and or your membership needs to okay every expenditure made by your treasurer. A treasurer cannot just write out a check arbitrarily. The president has to okay it. And according to your constitution, it may mean that the membership has to approve it. So you should know exactly how it's stated in your constitution and bylaws.
Can a president deposit money?
Sure. President can deposit money, so can the treasurer. In fact, anyone can deposit money if the treasurer gives you a deposit slip or gives you the information you need.
Okay.
But you just need to know who you can trust to do that.
Okay.
You probably just wouldn't want to just give it to anyone to make a deposit.
Right.
It's better if the president or the treasurer take care of it, and then you know.
Right.
Because they have the fiduciary responsibility for making sure that it's handled correctly.
Artist?
Yes.
I have a rule I use that any time it has to do with spending money, then a vote should be taken.
And there are some chapters that do that, that require everything that a vote be taken. It all depends on your constitution and bylaws. Some constitutions say that the president can make up to such and such an expense.
We do that.
Discretionary.
Right. It's discretionary up to, say, $50 or $100. And then after that, the membership needs to make the decision. And that's something each of your individual chapters needs to decide.
If there is money being contributed, can the chapter use the state 501(c)?
That's up to your state. California, we do. We allow the chapters to use the 501(c)(3) number. But in order for a state to be able to do that, they have to have required paperwork filled out every year. In other words, every December, in order to use a state ID number, you have to have each chapter fill in a form that says all of their fundraising receipts, all of their fundraising expenses, and the net that they raised in fundraising. And then that needs to be sent to your state organization. And that's the only way that your state can do it for chapters. And there are some state affiliates that do not allow their chapters to do it. So you'll have to talk to Debbie about that. I know Washington State will not allow their chapters to use their 501(c)(3). They make each chapter get their own 501(c)(3). But in California, we haven't. Now, we still have some chapters that have gone and gotten their own because they wanted to have total control. They didn't want to have to turn in that information to the state. So that's something you'll have to talk to Debbie about, whether or not your affiliate allows that or not.
We do allow it, but, again, we expect that information to protect ourselves so that we don't lose our 501(c)(3) status. So we expect reports to be turned in at the proper time to our treasurer and all of that so that we can keep our records up to date, because you have a responsibility to us if you use our 501(c)(3).
Hey, Debbie, could I ask a question?
Sure.
We have our own 501c3, where we're, of course, we're Florida chapter. If we don't use yours, do we have to report to you?
No.
No, yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, if you have your own, then you have to worry about your own reporting.
Yeah.
Then you probably get your own tax forms to fill in and so
yeah.
forth. If you, you as president need to make sure that the treasurer is doing his fiduciary responsibility. In fact, your whole board, all of the officers and board members, have a fiduciary responsibility to make sure that you know what's going on and that things are being handled correctly. And if at any time you as president don't feel that the treasurer is giving good reports or isn't doing his job, you need to make sure you have a chat with him or her to make sure that they're doing their job properly and doing the proper record keeping. They should be giving their reports monthly, and if they miss a meeting, they should be sending those on to you so that you can appoint someone else to give the report. That's, you know, very important to handle each time. And also, after this meeting, if you ever have any questions in the future, you can get my information from Debbie, or you can ask her, and if she can probably help you out, and if she can't, you can feel free to, you know, email me or call me at any time. Because obviously I can't cover every detail in an hour.
Well, you're doing a fine
job. I'm just trying to cover
the
major things. Okay. Another thing, president has to make sure things that happen at the meetings is like appointing delegates to go to your state convention. And chapters handle this differently, too. Like in our chapter, we elect delegates. We elect the delegates for the conventions each year. We do elections for those at the same time we do for officers and board members. And then those delegates would go to the convention, and then they give a report at the meeting following the convention. And your chapter would decide how you do that, if the president would appoint someone to go or if your chapter wants to vote on it. And that's another decision that, you know, they could make. You just want to make sure that whoever is your delegate is going to be there at all the meetings so that they can give in accurate notes afterwards or be there if there's things that come up for vote. So you need to be careful who you nominate or appoint to be as a delegate for your conventions. You also need to make sure that whenever you have a fundraiser, that if it's a professional fundraiser, you might have to open a separate checking account for that. You need to make sure your treasurer is aware of that. And make sure that the treasurer keeps adequate accounting for specific fundraisers, because you as a chapter are going to want to know what fundraisers are doing well and which ones aren't. And if you throw it all in the same treasury without making notations, it's going to be real difficult later down the road to find out how much you made on those cookbook sales, or how much you made on T-shirts, or how much you made on doing a booth at the convention. You want to make sure that you ask the treasurer to note each thing when he's giving his report, to keep it all separately. And some treasurers might know that. They might not need to be told, but it's always better to make sure, rather than finding out later, that you don't have adequate information. The president is generally the person that appoints the fundraising chair, but you might want to make sure you put a treasurer on the fundraising committee, because obviously they know most about the funding and what would be doable, what wouldn't be doable as far as with your treasurer, et cetera. Sometimes fundraisers are voted upon by your chapters, and sometimes the fundraising committee might bring them into play, But most small chapters, I think, vote on what things they want to do. Is that the case with most of yours?
Do you guys vote on fundraisers, or do the fundraising committee think of an idea and everybody says, yeah, that sounds good to me? How do y'all do it?
We vote on them.
It's open. The board does thinks of it. Individuals think of it, and then we vote on it.
Okay. Another thing that's good for you to make sure that a treasurer notes when which members are new members when you send in your list. Sometimes people send in your membership list to the state organization and you don't know which ones are new, and that way down the road, if you have, when they send out newsletters and so forth, they might not get the newsletters. And I know we have that problem sometimes. People will just send in their whole list to the state. Well, then they don't get a newsletter, and they wonder why they didn't get a newsletter. Well, it's because they didn't note that it was a brand new member. And so they didn't have a heads up to put them on the newsletter list. So sometimes these little details, it's important for you as president to make sure that people get all the information they need, because it's very important to make sure that new members get the things that they're entitled to as a new member. Does your president, does your president send in an article to your state newsletter, Debbie?
Do I send in one?
No, do chapters send
we
in?
We have a section for chapter news in our newsletters, but unfortunately, we don't get as much contributions to that as we would like. So this is a good opportunity to say to presidents, if you don't want to write the little blurbs yourself, appoint someone to write them so that we know what your chapter is doing. Our editor and our assistant editor are always asking chapters to send in chapter news, and it helps us know what you're doing, and it also gives chapters ideas as to what they might be able to do if something's successful for you. So we do have, I send in a report for every single newsletter to let everybody know what the state organization is doing, and we seek diligently reports from our chapters.
I know our state newsletter also encourages chapter presidents to put in blurbs about what they've done, because I think it's very helpful if you share the information with other chapters, because some chapters are better at fundraisers than other ones do. And if you tell other people what you're doing, then it really helps all the chapters grow. So I know we encourage people to do that, too. I'm gonna pause here and just ask if you people have any particular questions, because I don't want to miss anything that's real important for you to know.
Yeah, what's the function of a delegate other than reporting on the convention?
Generally, the delegate is the one that would vote for your chapter. Lisa, I assume, does Florida do like California does?
Yes, we have delegate voting, and we always discuss at a president's meeting before convention how delegate voting works at our conventions and how many delegates each chapter is allotted according to their membership and all of that, and that it is the delegates that vote, and we go over that with our presidents every year so that everybody is up to speed on that.
Do the chapters pay for the delegates to attend?
That's dependent on each chapter. Usually your chapter membership would vote to give the delegate a certain amount, and it varies depending on how much your chapter has in its treasury on how much they can afford to give the delegate. I know in California it ranges from nothing to $400, so it probably ranges that much there too, I imagine, in your various chapters.
That's true, and it is definitely a chapter decision. But most delegates don't have their full way paid because you figure they're going anyway. So you give them a stipend or something, or some chapters can't afford to do it at all. And so you have delegates, and you say, "Are you going to convention?" And you choose from the pool of men and women who are going to the convention.
So the delegate doesn't necessarily have to be the president?
No.
Okay.
Sometimes the president appoints him or herself as a delegate. If you're allotted more than one delegate, but the president, there's no rule that says the president has to be the delegate in FCB.
Okay.
There's another thing that's very important for presidents to do is to promote publicity for your chapter. And so you really should always have a really strong PR committee, because you want to make sure that you've got places that you have an announcement about your meetings or your special events, especially your special events, because that's how you get new people into your group, is if you put it out there for people to know. And I don't know if you have radio reading services or if you have a local cable channel that has like a scrolling screen of events, or a lot of times newspapers will put in meetings of organizations or special events. You just need to call around and find out what's available in your community. There's even beginning to be a lot more radio stations and television stations that have their own website, and they'll even promote your items on their website if you sign up to their website. So it's real important to investigate all of those different areas to promote your chapter. So that's public relations could be a whole other topic, but I just wanted to throw that in there because it's important for you as president to promote these things. The same with a brochure. Each chapter should have a brochure or a simple one-page flyer that you can hand out when you're doing fundraisers, that you can hand out when you're talking in the community, or if you do a booth at a fair or something like that. If you have a little flyer that you can hand out with your contact information, you might get to some new members in your chapter that way. Any other questions?
Artis, this has been great. I know I have learned a lot. And I've been president of 3 HCB affiliates, so I'm sure that our presidents have, and we so appreciate your coming and sharing this time with us. And we're having artists back next month to do secretaries and treasurers, and we hope that you and all and others of your chapters will come and hear what artists has to say, and we'll get this recording up on the website as soon as ever we can. As soon as John gets it ready for us, and so that we can have it. And are there any last-minute questions for artists before we bring the call to an end?
Yes.
We
would you say that
any other questions?
Wait a minute. Debbie spoke first, so we'll let Debbie go, and then we'll let you go.
Thanks, Debbie. Artists, would you say that the duties of the vice president are pretty much the same as for president, when the president's not available to conduct a meeting or otherwise run the chapter?
Yes, the vice president has to be able and willing to fill in at any given time in case the president is sick. And a lot of times the president will designate some of his or her duties to the vice president just so that everything can get done. Like, oftentimes the president will have the vice president help with the committees, keep on tab with the committees. That's always a good job for the vice president. But the main thing is that the vice president needs to learn from the president and work well together so you know when one of you is going to be gone.
Okay.
Right.
And Sheila, you had a question?
Yes, I did. Are we, as president, supposed to just delegate or be totally involved?
That's up to each president and up to your chapter. I know I do quite a few things in my chapter. I print up the rosters, and I do some of those things, and I print up the flyers just because I have the equipment to do that. But if somebody else was willing to do it, I would have delegated it. So it kind of depends on your chapter, you know, who is willing to do certain things. And if no one else is willing, then sometimes the president has to fall back and do those things.
This is Elliot in Sarasota. Could I ask, you didn't mention a technological committee or a person or a support system. I know in our chapter, and I know in general, you know, we could probably get a good many more people, you know, to sign up, email, this all kind of thing, if they had some help getting on to, you know, some help, a boost, you know, getting up started on it.
Yeah, if you've got someone with that interest, that would be a great idea.
Right, yeah.
And, of course, our FCB has a wonderful technology committee. They're always helping our chapters and our individual members. We're having a wonderful opportunity at convention for you to get your personal computer questions answered by experts on our technology committee. And our technology committee is wonderful about helping anybody. So you presidents, if you have questions or problems, please reach out to the technology committee.
Oh, the individuals can, individual members can do that.
Yes.
Great. That's great news. Okay, thank you.
Okay, anything else? Well, before we go, I want to thank Artis again, and remember that our next meeting will be a similar training session with Artis. It will be Tuesday, April 14th at 8 p.m. our time.